In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24, it says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my hand, and on my mountains tread him underfoot, and then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over the nations, for the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it?" And Lord, we just thank you that you have purposed and no one can annul it, and you have a purpose for this word. You have a purpose for our lives, just as there was a purpose for every time that we sang Jesus. There's a purpose, and nothing can stop it. And so we rejoice in that, in Jesus' name. When Isaiah made this declaration, it was, sounded pretty impossible. When Isaiah said that the Assyrian, the back was going to be broken off of them, the yoke was going to be off of them, and that the burden was going to be removed from their shoulders, it sounded pretty far-fetched. But Isaiah said it anyway. And he said, "This the Lord of hosts has purpose, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, who will turn it back?" And then he goes on to say some other things and address some specific things, telling the people prophetically that this is what the Lord has purposed and this is how it's going to be. Now, not everybody believed him. I'm sure there were scoffers. I'm sure that there just not everybody wanted to receive that, but that was okay. Isaiah learned long before this that not everybody was going to receive everything that he said. Other prophets discovered the same thing. Ezekiel, the Lord told him, "You're going to go say this. Nobody's going to listen to you. But go say it anyway." And so the thing is that what God has purposed is going to happen. Now, when he said that the yoke was going to be broken and the burden removed from them, that was going to happen. Was everybody going to experience it? No. Because not everybody would either still be around, not everybody would receive it, you know? Okay, so God has purposed things for your life and for my life and for whosoever will believe. He has purposed things, and it's a blanket purpose, and nobody can annul it for whosoever will. But nobody has to take it. That's a sad thing, because we wish that everyone would just receive it. That's just the way that it is. But God gives everyone a choice. And so when we look at that and we consider that Jesus said, okay, you're the light of the world. So you go out there and you shine. So the people in darkness will see a great light, so that they will see the light and they will come to the light. Now, when Jesus came, people in darkness saw a great light. And people saw him, and people saw what he did. And when he left, he said, "Now you go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded." Now he told us very much the same thing on Sunday, you know. He said, only he added in there, "Don't worry about anything else, go out and do this. Don't worry about things," and that's true. We don't have to worry about things, because all these things will be added unto us. But to make disciples, to be a light, to shine in such a way that sometime when somebody is in deep enough darkness, they will look at our light and they will say, "Can you help? Will you help?" Or there are other times when we recognize that someone is in darkness and we say, "Can I help?" And then will they receive the help? Don't know. But we have to offer. This is what God has purposed. There is a purpose for the things of God. On Sunday, when we talked about, you know, enlightening our eyes, and we talked about how long, and we realized that as soon as our eyes were enlightened, the how long was taken care of. Because how long will I talk to my own soul? How long will I only be guided by my own desires, by my own thoughts? How long will I keep looking at what I can do? The fact of the matter is, sometimes people get caught up in worry, or as Sue said, in fear, and that's the only thing they consult, is their own fear, their own worries, their own doubts, their own way of thinking. And what the Spirit of the Lord comes to do is to break our way of thinking, to give us another way of thinking, another way of looking at things. Today I was talking to Joshua, and Joshua is getting his transcript sent. He's going to go back to school. He's going to study math. Now, Joshua liked math as a young child, and then in the middle of his liking math, he ran into a little bit of a problem where basically it was his own problem. His problem was is that he had on against the teacher, and because of that, he quit liking math. And now he says he's gotten over that and ready to go back to what he likes, you know. I said, well, you know, it's too bad that you let that dispel that. But that's how we can become sometimes. Our own type of thinking, our own type of resistance to something can then keep us from what God really has for us. Whether it be healing or it be provision or it be wisdom or whatever the case might be, we can get our own thinking going, and even though the Word of God has purposed something else, our words can annul it. Our words can annul it because God says a double-minded person will receive nothing from God. And so our words can dispel it. In talking with Jordan about his knees, I have been telling him, I said, well, we're praying for it to be healed. And he said to me today, he said, I know they should just be healed, but when he said, but, I just wanted to yell, get off your butt. Okay. Don't put the butt in. I don't have any problem with doctors, but when someone says, I know this, but what they've just done is said, I know this, but I'm depending on something else instead. But instead. Now, but is not a bad word, but it's when but comes after I believe but, I trust but, you know, I know what God says, but. Do you see what the but does to what God has purposed? Man, I love Jesus and God's going to heal me, but, you know, I mean, heaven has rumbled when we started the declaration. Angels have begun their trip, and on but, everything stops. Don't say but! Don't say but! We're almost there! But, it interrupts. This is what God has purposed. Who can annul it? So we need to come to the place where we can simply stand on that. Our eyes need to be enlightened. We need to go ahead and then just receive what the Lord says. In Psalm 14 and verse 7, it says, oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. And then David says, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. He didn't say, if the Lord does this. He didn't say, well, maybe the Lord will do this. He said, when the Lord brings it back, let the people rejoice. In other words, it's coming. How did he know it was coming? Because the Lord had said it was coming. And so, instead of saying, if the Lord does this, he simply said, when God does this, you people better rejoice. When God does it. You see, how we say what we say does affect things. It's not just playing with words, but how we say it affects things. Okay? I mean, and we can say that, and we can see that in the natural realm. You know, I mean, if we go to bed and I say to Vicky, I love you, honey, she says, I love you too. You know, well, hey, I know she loves me. You know, I mean, and that's good, but it's, you know, it's not like something like you go to bed and go, ha ha, she loves me, no doubt about it, you know? I mean, it's like how we say it, or how we say, I love you too, you know? How we say what we say makes a difference. And so when it comes to the things of God, how we say it, you know? Somebody says, oh, God hears your prayer. You say, yeah, I know. Man, I mean, that just about moves your mountain, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, I know, don't bother me with it. Oh, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I look at people that get into it, and I hate it too, Sue. I hate it when people are being tormented by medical problems. I do. When they could ask somebody for prayer. You know, it's not a secret you're a Christian. It's not a secret you're a little wacko for Jesus at times. You know, is it? It's not a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. And so there are so many times, I mean, there are people that I have even prayed for them, forced a prayer in there almost, like, well, let me pray for you. It's like, yeah, please do that. And I'm praying before they get a chance to realize I meant right now, you know? I mean, things like that. But then they get into something and I think, oh God, why don't they just call? Why don't they just call? They know somebody that's crazy enough to pray for them. Why don't they call? Why don't they seek somebody? Why don't they call the prayer tower in Tulsa? Call something, you know. You hear testimonies from some people. I mean, for a hangnail, they'll call 8 ministries to get them praying for them. Bless God. It's because they don't, you know, hangnails aren't fun. You know, but I mean, they will call. Why? Because they believe God answers prayers and they're not going to miss a shot at it. And so it is sometimes. It is frustrating that people know and yet, you know, they'll go bouncing around having nothing to do with prayer, you know. People will be sick and they'll be going around saying their goodbyes to people instead of going to somebody and saying, pray for me. I wish somebody would call me and say, would your church have a special service I'd like to be prayed for? I bless God, I'll come pick you all up. I'd be out there with my Suburban shuttling you to the church. We got somebody who wants prayer. Come on. And I wouldn't have to. Y'all would come on your own. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if people would do that? Well, you see, that's the purpose that God has. He has purposed that one day there will come a time when people just come around saying, I understand you know the Lord, help me. But until that time, we have an assignment. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify the Father because of them. That they would receive what the Lord had. Because you see, David said, when God does this. And we have to understand that the promises of God are not if, they're when. And sometimes the when comes before you even pray. Because God knows what we have need of before we pray. And by our faith, we're healthy. By our faith, there's just certain things that are being added unto us. But there are other times that our faith may be good and everything may be strong and the purpose may be there, but there is an attack out there. But that doesn't change anything. It's when God does this. When God answers my prayer, I'm going to be happy. So be happy now. When God heals me, I'm going to be well, and boy, I'm going to be so excited. Get excited now. Maybe you're not strong enough to be as excited as you will be when you're totally and completely, but by His stripes you were healed, so when is now? When the Lord does this. He said to them, when God does this, you better rejoice. We look at that and we say, well, it looks to me like He did it. We may as well start enjoying it now. Did you know that you'll do better enjoying the answer to your prayer before it gets there than worrying about it before it gets there? Than throwing in the but and throwing in the, well, I guess that God just didn't hear me. You know that's a lie. Because the Bible says this is the confidence we have. We know when we pray, He hears us. God is true to His Word. And so you can stand. None of us like to activate the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, or patience. Instant's fun. It's fun. The bicycler that stayed with us, he wanted old-fashioned oats. Old-fashioned oats take longer. They still taste the same. I don't think there's any nutritional difference to those in quick oats, but he wanted old-fashioned oats. You know? They both taste the same to me.
No.
Well, then I've got problems with my taste buds. Because they taste the same to me. I'm not talking about microwave oats here. I'm talking about old-fashioned oatmeal that you can cook in a minute instead of five. That's right. Well, praise the Lord, He got them.
Praise God.
Bless God, never let it be said that they didn't come and we didn't supply their need. And I'll have to eat those things, and I will bet you that they get cooked in a minute most of the time when I do them for myself. Well, I'm sure that I'll eat them that way. And I will probably, actually, I will just mix them with my yogurt and I won't even cook them.
That's the best way.
You know? See? But what's that? Well, you can just take them by the handful. You don't even need the yogurt. Look like a cow eating alfalfa. I don't care. But you know? How in the world did we get there? I guess because of the simple fact, you know? I mean, I have to tell you that my old-fashioned oats were not very good this morning compared, because I waited till everybody else had theirs. You can't wait for them old-fashioned ones. You better eat them quick. Quick ones I can fix. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. All right. But the whole thing is when they were done, I ate them. And when God says something, it's done. The Lord has purposed it. Who can annul it? That has to get sealed in our Holy Ghost personage. That has to get locked in to where we can't be knocked off and butt's not a part of our vocabulary where it comes to the Word of God. And when we have that, when becomes now. Now, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Now, you can receive it or not. We can receive the fact that, you know something? If we want our eyes enlightened, we can get them enlightened. And then we can walk in the light as He is in the light. We can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. But we get to choose which way we want to walk. Look at it this way. If you have to stand patiently, you get that much more time to rejoice and anticipate. Rachel waited and waited and waited and waited and waited to get her driver's permit, and now she is the best driver in the world. She read the book. But when came, you know, and she would talk about it continually. Today, not only did she make me a poster with double nickel on it, but she also let me know that what a gift she received on this day. On this day, she's up for a new cell phone. We have been searching on the internet for a long time in anticipation of this day. When I get home tonight, we will search on the internet. And if she can make up her mind, we will probably order her new cell phone. The only thing that will stop when is her. If she can't make up her mind, Because I will not order it until when comes. Until when she says, that's the one. You know? And she informed me she has to live with this thing for a whole 2 years. And therefore, she's got to make sure it's the right one. Well, praise God. That's good. You know? Different things are important to different people. I roll my eyes at her sometimes, but I get a kick out of her too. I love the power because I have the button. It don't happen till I click the button. So I really do control when. It's the same thing spiritually. You control when, folks. You control when. You can't control anybody, but you can control when the Spirit of God moves in your life, around your life, and you can control when He moves through your life because you release the Spirit of God. You release that through you because He lives in you. And if you can, and I don't know who said this, but this is also true. Jesus said it, actually, but in different words. If you can perceive it, you can receive it. But you see, we can't perceive it sometimes. We acknowledge it, but we don't activate it. Because we won't take the time to become one with it. We say, oh, I prayed, and then we didn't stay there. We say, oh, I prayed, and we butted it out. We say, oh, I prayed, and then we complain. We say, I prayed, and then we get angry at somebody else. We say, I prayed, and we get unforgiving. We say, I prayed, and this happens or that happens. And then we can't figure out why in the world things aren't going the way we want them to. Well, it's because we don't believe God enough to believe that if we just stay in the way that He wants us to be, everything else will work itself out. And so we pray about something and then we activate something else. David was specific in this. He simply said, when this happens, rejoice. Well, we know from Scripture that when is past tense now. It was finished by Jesus Christ. And so then, by His stripes we were healed, so when happened already. So now we can declare the when, and we can rejoice in it. And everything else. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we were healed. His provision, He's the Lord our provider, He was, He is, He always will be, all of those things. So when actually already took place. So when Christ hung on the cross, when He came up from the dead, when He ascended into heaven, when He came back by the Holy Spirit to live in us, it was finished. But we have to come into that spot. And so it's a process. Some areas we may be quicker at. Some areas we may be slower at. But we've got to always be moving in them. Just like math might come naturally to some people and history to some people and this and that and the other thing. Well, guess what? You know what? We send our kids to school and, you know, I bet at college, if you say, well, I just, you know, this class just doesn't appeal to me. They say, well, that's fine, but you're going to get the grade in this one or you aren't going to get a degree. They didn't say, oh, you poor thing, could we get you another class, did they? No. They say, you grow up in it. So this is what we do in our faith, you know. This part may be easy for you and this part may be more difficult for you. So what? Take the class. You may have to apply yourself a little bit more. But if you believe God can do and God will do what God says He will do, then it's worth it to pass that class. It's worth it to apply ourselves. Because we won't get that class or credit for that class unless we apply ourselves in that area. I mean, some people can get caught up. They can get caught up like in unforgiveness or something like that. And they can't figure out. They're doing everything else right, but they just aren't about to forgive somebody. And they can't figure out, well, something's just wrong. Well, that's a big thing to God. You know? That'd be like somebody saying, well, you know, I just really like to steal. I don't see why, you know, I just really don't want to quit stealing. Well, then don't expect things to go real well for you. When the thief is caught, he's got to repay. You know, it's one thing when the devil's a thief, but if you're the thief, that's not too good. Yeah. Will a man rob God? Oh, the Bible asks us about that. Will we rob him by not loving? Will we rob him by not giving? Will we rob him by not forgiving? Will we, you know? I mean, we can be a thief in more ways than shoplifting. So we have all of those things, and yet all of us want when to be now. We all want all of our prayers answered. We all want everything that God has promised. We all want it. But we have to walk in it. Because that's the way God set it up. So we look at the things, the things of the Old Testament. Hebrews tell us all those things were examples for us to learn from. Jesus said, go and teach them all to observe the things that I've taught you, things that I've commanded you, the things that I've revealed to you. Okay, so that's where we started this year, talking about that the way that we are going to come into that place is observing Jesus. Tonight, the Lord led Judy to have us just sing Jesus. When we got done, when we came to the end of that, the Lord said there was a purpose for every Jesus. What do you suppose He did? What do you suppose He did with that? I mean, where did they go? Did they go to the other side of the world? Did they go down the street? Did they go into somebody here? What did He do with those? But He said there was a purpose. Oh man, isn't it great when God's purposes are accomplished? Do we trust Him to accomplish His purpose? Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. They'll have mercy surround them. To just know. To know. Like we said on Sunday, you know. How long, Lord? Will You forget me forever? You'll never forget me. You said You'd never leave me or forsake me. You never will. The question is, how long will I inquire of my own soul? How long will I listen to myself and allow myself to argue against the knowledge of God? Don't blame it on the devil. He's not a problem. He's defeated. You know that, don't you? He's a defeated foe. The fight we have is the good fight of faith. The devil's defeated. God wiped him out. That doesn't mean he doesn't try, but he's defeated. He knows he's defeated. He just tries to deceive us into thinking that he still has some authority and he still has some power. And yet Jesus said to Pilate, you don't have any authority. You couldn't do anything if I didn't let you. That's the same problem that the devil has. He can't do anything that we don't let him. So sometimes when we're waiting for the when of God, we've released the when of the enemy. And he's not kind, but he is defeated. So what the Lord has purposed, nothing can annul. What the Lord has planned, He will do. And He said, I know the plans that I have for you. See, we have to come in to the confidence of that the Lord has planned for us, and then stand on that. And like I said, sometimes when comes quickly, and sometimes when comes slowly, but while we're waiting, if we're rejoicing and if we're declaring and if we're confident, the waiting is not really a problem. You go to an amusement park, And people will wait 45 minutes for a 3-minute ride. Now, you can wait complaining, grumbling, it's so hot, or you can wait going, praise God, this will be a good ride. You can wait encouraging people around you. You can wait going, hey, this is great. You know, I'll tell you what, you start praising the Lord, you're liable to move up in the line. Because people are liable to disappear. I'll say, get these people to the front, please. Hallelujah. Favor of God. But you know, I mean, we can wait grumbling. A lot of Christians do that. They pray and then wait grumbling. In case you don't know it, grumbling increases the weight. You know? Or you can just look forward to the ride. And with God, I want to tell you something, it's a good ride. You can look forward to the ride. And when it happens, it's going to be great. You can enjoy the wait. You can enjoy the wait. That's what I tell my daughters. That's what I told my sons. Enjoy the wait. Don't go out having sex. You know? Gabe, enjoy the wait. How did he get around to that, huh? I can't help myself. I love you. But you know, isn't that what we say? Enjoy the wait. When it comes to things like that for our children, I could say I wish I would have enjoyed the wait. I didn't. My problem was I didn't wait. But I still did great. Because the Lord loves me. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was making a way for me. He had a purpose for my life. Whether I walked into it or not, He wasn't going to force. But I praise God that I walked into it. And that I refused to walk out of it. And that I'm determined to learn. And I'm determined to have when become now in greater and greater fashion. I believe that there's a whole lot of revelation that God has for us that is what's going to fulfill the good and the precious and the great plans that He has for us. And I don't think it's worth allowing anything to keep us from that. There is nothing that is worth missing what God has for you. So when God does it, rejoice. Well, He already did it. So when you pray, pray believing. Right? Pray knowing that a double-minded person will receive nothing from God. Pray knowing that the Spirit of God in you, that if you will press in, that you become one with the Lord in that prayer. And you can come out of that prayer knowing that God has done it. Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father do. I don't say anything but what I hear the Father say. When he went knowing when was there. When he got there, miracles happened. When he got there, lives were changed. When he got there, storms were stopped. When he got there, people could walk on the water. When he got there, the dead were raised. And when you got born again, He came to live in you. And now all things are possible with God. When? Now. Amen. Father, we rejoice that Your word is true. We rejoice, Lord, that we trust You to reveal more and more and more of these truths to us, Lord. That as we go, we will just become so one with You. We will just begin to hear You so clearly. We will begin to see You watch over your word and perform it in such marvelous ways. Lord, there will be just a light and confidence that will draw people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.